The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Praise be to Christ. Thanks, Pat. At this time, we'll go ahead and dismiss our students to a small group. And I just want to add my gratitude and thanks and praise to the Lord for answering prayer for the Ristas to join our team. That's a really big deal. We've been praying about student ministry here really since COVID. And for those of you that have been around since 2020 or prior to 2020, you know that coming back into the beginning of 2021, we functionally started over with all of our ministry teams. And to see the Lord not only call and raise up men and women who desire to serve students, but also from that really allow the Ristas to put upon their heart the desire to invest and to partner with parents is a real win. And you're going to hear us talk about the desire to continue to grow that team. So we still need men and women to come alongside the Ristas for the sake of our middle school, high school students, the desire to implement maybe some new environments for them this spring. So I'd encourage you, if you're a parent here, you have a middle school student, high school student, take a look at the spring calendar, things that are on the agenda. There's going to be an opportunity really soon to meet the Ristas and to hear more about their heart for student ministry. This is a great opportunity to invest with them and see what God wants to do in and through our students. I'm really excited about that. I was looking back through my journal this week, and it's something that I try to do at the beginning of a new year. And just looking back at things that I've been praying for, maybe goals that I set a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And one of the things about implementing that kind of practice is it's encouraging on one hand because you get to look back and you get to see progress when you look back over things that you've been praying for. And you get to see prayers that the Lord has answered. You get to see God's provision, maybe even his provision in ways that you did not even anticipate. One thing I would tell you about looking back at something like that is it's not just encouraging, it's also humbling. Because you realize in that moment as you read and you look, whether it's a year later, 2 years later, who you thought you were going to be is not who you actually are. Right? The goals that you set out to achieve, like I'm going to lose a certain amount of weight this year. I'm going to save this much money this year. I'm going to start a new hobby. I'm going to simplify my life and give myself to these disciplined practices. And you realize as you look back from a year or 2 or 3 years, you realize that did not happen. That's not who I am. That's not what I anticipated things would look like. One writer says it like this. He says, "We all wake up one day to discover that we have indeed become a certain kind of person." All of us wake up and realize that we are a certain kind of father, a certain kind of mother, a certain kind of husband, a certain kind of wife, a certain kind of son, daughter, brother, sister, friend, employee, neighbor, you name it. And it will not be our best intentions that determines who we become. It will not be willpower. It will not be self-discipline. It will not even be circumstances. It will be our teacher. That's right. It will be our teacher. It will be the person, the people, the standard, the principle, the ideology. It will be something or someone that leads us to the place of what we become and who we become. See, I stand before you on this morning to remind you, if you didn't already know this, everyone is a disciple. Everyone. Everyone is being led. Everyone is going after something for something. Everyone has an aim of their life and where their life is headed, even if we can't name the destination. Hundreds of decisions on hundreds of ordinary days, we become who we are. Hundreds of decisions on hundreds of ordinary days, we become a certain kind of person. Mark chapter 8, hopefully you're already there with the scripture reading. If not, I invite you to go back to Mark chapter 8 with me. Today we are beginning a six-week series entitled Practicing the Way of Jesus. And our hope over the next 6 weeks is to look closely at the discipleship outcomes we believe are evidenced over time in the life of those who give themselves to practicing, walking in the way of Jesus. And these outcomes that we're going to see rise from the pages of Scripture, these outcomes are the result of what we value together as a church. If you recall, last year in January, we spent the entire month of January talking about our core values as a church: intimacy, community, and mission. Intimacy is our lives being marked by being with and enjoying God. Community, that our lives are shaped by the people of God. And mission, that our lives are engaged in the redemptive work of God. And our belief here at Summit is that when we learn to live in light of these values, when we orient our life in light of these values by the Spirit's help, the Spirit produces in us a particular set of outcomes. In other words, He produces a certain kind of person. That's where we're headed over the next 6 weeks. We're going to look very closely at what those outcomes are that the Spirit of God is producing in those who choose to walk, practice the way of Jesus. This morning, what I want to do with our time together is I want to introduce to you what we mean by practice the way of Jesus. And then at the end, I'm going to give you a very practical invitation. Mark 8, for seven chapters in this gospel, the major question being answered is, who is Jesus? And then Mark's going to show us, as we walk through the narrative of those seven chapters, this is who He is. This is what He's like. This is what He's up to. This is what He's about. And as you interact with the people who come in contact with Jesus, be it the crowds of people, the broken, the hurting, the diseased, the demonic, the forgotten, be it the religious leaders, be it the Pharisees, the scribes, be it the disciples, those who were closest to Jesus, those whom Jesus approached and personally invited and called and journey with Him. All of these people, the crowds, the religious leaders, the disciples, all of these people in their own way are contemplating, wrestling with, who is this man? Who is this Jesus? And what do we do with Him? Do we listen to Him? I mean, we're unequivocally drawn to Him, but do we listen to Him? Do we follow Him? And if we do follow Him, what does that even mean? The words Pat read for us this morning, it represents a major shift in the Gospel of Mark. It's, in fact, a climactic moment where Jesus Himself is going to set the record straight. From the very lips of Jesus Himself, He's going to answer the prevailing question: what does it mean to follow Me? Mark 8, verse 34. Calling the crowd to Him, with his disciples, he said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So Peter, the disciples, the crowds, the religious, anyone. The invitation is for anyone. You want to follow me? Then come. But here's what that means. You must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Those who would have heard these words really would have had no concept of Jesus on a cross. He hasn't really went there yet with them. In fact, cross to them would have been a symbol of darkness and shame and guilt. Some scholars will combine that language to help us better understand what Jesus is saying to everyone. Turn from your selfish ways and pick up the symbol of shame. Pick up the shame of following me. Why? Because following Jesus is going to come with a cost. It's going to cost the disciples. It's going to cost the crowds. It's going to cost the religious if they indeed choose to follow him. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost me. You see, following Jesus will likely lead us down a path that we did not envision for ourselves. Following Jesus will likely lead us to people and places that we would have never chosen apart from choosing to follow Jesus. I love the way Eugene Peterson describes this. He says, following Jesus does not get us where we want to go, it gets us where Jesus is going. And did you notice Jesus does not give them all the details of what it means to follow him here? Hey, I'm going to set the record straight. I want you to lay it all down and come follow me. He does not tell them everything that means. He doesn't give them the five-step strategy or the list of principles. He does not tell them what's ahead for them. Why does he not do that? Because the invitation is a total reorientation of their life that is now to be centered around him. You want to go with me? You want to follow me, Jesus says? Then give me your life. All of me to you, all of you to me. Verse 35. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's, they will save it. If you try to hold on to your life, if you try to grasp for life, if you try to control the narrative and the circumstances and the outcome of your life, Jesus says, hey, you're actually going to end up losing it. It's elusive. It's going to slip through your fingers. You'll lose your true self. You'll lose your purpose for being alive. If you try to cling tightly to self and pleasure and status and power and ambition, guess what? Jesus is very frank. You will lose you. But if you give up your life, I'll give you life. If you give up your way, I'll give you life. I'll give you life that is better than anything that you can imagine, better than anything that you could have obtain or achieve on your own. Is that not counterintuitive? Like, give up the rights to your life in order to receive life. That's the invitation of Jesus. The invitation of Jesus is to follow Jesus. And as we see this invitation and the implications of this invitation unfold throughout the life and ministry of Jesus, as we see it unfold in the life of those who first followed Jesus, here's what we know. Here's what we know that following Jesus is. Here's what we know that it looks like, what it looks like. It's learning to be with Jesus. It's learning to become like Jesus. And it's learning to participate with Jesus in what he is doing. The invitation to follow Jesus is to come and be with me, become like me, and participate with me in what I'm up to. Be with me. Let's talk about those, the implications of those three things for just a moment. The very first step in response to the invitation of Jesus is, it's not information. It's not a set of facts to learn and then rehearse. It's not even mental assent to a certain type of doctrine. It's not even primarily about a destination to arrive at. It is first and foremost about presence and proximity. Be with me. When we go over to John 15, because this is where we're going to be at next week, John chapter 15, John 15 is going to use the language of remain with me. I want you to be with me. I want you to remain with me. Delight in my company. Enjoy being with me, around me. Now, can I just pause here for a second and invite you to consider a question? Can I invite you to think about your own relationship to Jesus for a moment? As you consider what it means to follow Jesus, does the notion of being with him, does it describe the way you relate to him? Let me ask it this way. When you think of what Jesus wants from you, is this the first thing that comes to mind, that he wants you to be with him? When you think about what Jesus wants for you, what Jesus requires of you as a follower of him, a follower of the way of Jesus, does the notion of being with him, does that fill your mind and heart? Because Jesus does something here that no other rabbi has ever done. He comes to ordinary, unlikely people, and he extends an invitation that is absolutely unheard of. I want you to be with me. Will you leave your way of life behind and come and be with me? That's the invitation. So here's the very first thing. I wanted to sit with us because the implications of this are profound for us this morning. Being a disciple of Jesus, being a follower of Jesus, is not first an activity that we do. It is an identity that defines who we are. Following Jesus is first and foremost receiving an identity that we did absolutely nothing to earn or deserve. And here's the identity. Come and be my beloved. Be my beloved son. Be my beloved daughter. And be with me. Be with me. Jesus is the pearl of great price as we look throughout the Gospels. He is the treasure hidden in the field. He is worth giving up everything we have in order to receive more than we could ever imagine. The greatest thing about following Jesus is Jesus. And the very first step in receiving this invitation is saying yes to being with him. The new found identity born of the Spirit that defines who we are. Who are you? Who am I? We are disciples of Jesus. We are followers of Jesus. And this identity now informs and shapes the way we live our life, the way we see the world, the way we interact with one another, the way we treat one another, the way we live. So as we learn to be with Jesus and remain with Jesus and to delight in Jesus, you know what happens? We become more like Jesus. We become like him. This invitation is not just about presence, it's about transformation. In other words, to follow Jesus is to not merely trust him with the direction and future of our lives, but it is to entrust to him the very transformation of our hearts. The transformation of our longings, our thought life, our emotions, our affections, and our very will. Notice in Mark 8:34 that it begins with an invitation for who? Everyone. Anyone. Whoever. No matter who you are. No matter what you've done. No matter your background. No matter your family heritage. No matter your religious experience. No matter the sin that you have given into. What you've done, what's been done to you. Whoever. You know what? You can come. I want you with me. But notice the verse shifts. It shifts from whoever to let them be decisive in their choice. That's the way it reads in the English Standard Version. But the implications there is whoever is going to come and follow me must make a decisive choice. A decisive choice. To what? To be with me, to choose my way, to take up their cross, and follow me. We don't use that word disciple much outside of the church. It's not common language outside of this entity, really. And interestingly enough, there seems to be a lot of confusion within the church on what it actually means to be one. The word disciple, it simply means to be a student of a teacher. It means to be a learner, but not a learner in the sense of someone who just sits and accumulates information, but rather a learner who becomes a practitioner, a learner who becomes an apprentice. My dad owns a roofing company, and I grew up being around all of that and really not liking any of it. But I spent many summers on hot roofs, handling hot asphalt shingles. Not a lot of fun. I could go to my dad's office, and I could sit across the seat from my dad, and my dad could show me a shingle and say, "Terry, this is what it does, and this is how you appropriately nail the shingle to where it needs to be. This is the direct dimensions and the where it needs to be at on the overhang, and how many nails, and where to put the nails, because if you misplace the nails, storm comes, it's going to fall off." He can tell me all of that. But if I'm going to learn how to do what he's telling me, I'm going to need to get on that roof with my dad, and I'm going to need to observe him, and he's going to say, "Here you go, here's the hammer. You do it." That's the implication of apprentice to teacher. That's the implication of discipleship. The goal of a disciple is to embody the way of life of the teacher. That there is a becoming more and more like the one that we are sitting with and enjoying and delighting with and learning from. And for the first disciples who left behind everything to follow Jesus, the goal of their apprenticeship to Jesus was not, "Hey, there's going to be a test at the end of 3 years, and you got to get it right." Or at the end of 3 years, if you follow in the way just right enough, good enough, loyal enough, then you'll receive a degree. No, the goal of apprenticeship to Jesus was to learn the way of the teacher. It was to learn how to live in God's good world. It was to learn the way of the kingdom as they took on the characteristics of the king. And I submit to you this morning, the call for you and I to follow Jesus is no different. To follow Jesus means to be with him, to walk alongside him in a posture of listening, learning, observation, obedience, imitation, and practice. Where is Jesus going? Okay, that's where I want to go. What is Jesus saying? What kind of language is he using? Okay, that's the language I want to learn to speak. Those are the kinds of things I want to learn to talk about. What's he doing? Okay, I want to learn how to do those things where God has sovereignly placed me. Back to Eugene Peterson for another quote. The Jesus truth, only when it is wedded to the Jesus way, will produce the Jesus life. Jesus as the truth gets far more attention than Jesus as the way. He says Jesus as the way is the most frequently evaded metaphor among the Christians with whom I have worked for 50 years as a North American pastor. The Jesus truth without the Jesus way will always be void of the Jesus life. I know we all come from probably an array of backgrounds, so I just want to be really clear with what I'm saying and what I think Jesus is getting at. The grace of God in the gospel is for everyone. Everyone. Whoever will come, anyone who will come after me. It is 100% totally and completely undeserved and unearned, but available to whoever will receive it by faith. That is the gift of grace. But don't get it twisted. That same grace is also at work within us by the power of the Spirit to grow and mature us into his image and likeness. Each passing day, hundreds of ordinary days, ordinary moments, ordinary decisions, the Spirit of God is desiring to produce us more and more and more and more and more into the image and likeness of Jesus. So to follow him is to apprentice under him so that we might learn to take on his characteristics, his way of life. And then thirdly, is to join him in what he's doing. Be with him, to become like him, and to join him in what he's up to. You see, the aim of our journey with Jesus is not to become a better person or to find inner peace or happiness. The aim isn't even to take on a different lifestyle. No, the aim of our journey with Jesus is to participate with Jesus in what he is up to and what Jesus is accomplishing. I'll take you back to the beginning of Mark's gospel, chapter 1, the very first invitation that Jesus gives to two guys, two very unlikely guys, blue-collar guys, fishermen. Jesus says these words, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. Follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. Follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and I'm going to do something with you. I'm going to do something in you. I'm going to make you fishers of men. So the invitation's the same. Come be with me, apprentice under me, and I'm going to send you back out. This is what's so profound about that invitation in Mark chapter 1. To Simon, and to Andrew, I'm going to send you back into your context of life. I'm going to send you back to the relationships that you have forged. I'm going to send you back into the vocation you've always known. But only now, the purpose for your way of life, the purpose for your job, the purpose for the relationships you form, it will all be about me, my salvation, and my kingdom, my grace and my mercy. Why? Because I've come to bring liberty to the captives. I've come to give sight to the blind. I've come to bring freedom to the oppressed. And you're going to participate with me in all of it. I'm going to be doing the work, Simon. I'm going to be doing the work, Peter. But I'm going to accomplish it through you. If you really think about it, all of this is quite staggering. That Jesus really does want to be with us. He wants us to be with him. That's a staggering thought. Invitation of Jesus, come be with me. It's a staggering thought that Jesus really can and does desire to transform our lives into wholeness and vitality and flourishing. Jesus really will empower us to participate with him as he accomplishes his mission of redemption. But that is the invitation of Jesus. It's not to pray a prayer. It's not to give mental assent to a set of facts, to adhere to a particular doctrine, not downplaying any of those things. But the invitation of Jesus is to come be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and participate with Jesus in what he's up to. The next 5 weeks, we're going to walk very methodically through the kinds of outcomes that the Spirit produces in those who choose to come practice the way of Jesus, to walk in the way of Jesus. That the Spirit of God is producing in the children of God a particular kind, a distinctive kind of life as we follow our teacher, as we follow Christ. All right, I want to be really practical now in terms of how this meets us as a church and then thinking about that individually. The invitation of our leadership, we think about this in terms of a new year, and we're establishing this series together and talking about discipleship outcomes, and that has implications on this church family, has implications on you individually and your family. And so the invitation of our elders and pastoral staff team is to come follow Jesus with us. Is to practice the way of Jesus together here in the upstate of South Carolina. And the way we view church, because Jesus views church this way, is we view church as family. We're family. And if you're a part of this family or you desire to belong to this family, then we want you to know what it looks like to participate and belong here as we collectively learn how to practice his way. So I'm going to situate that into two categories, and I'll be brief. Number one, would you practice the way of Jesus personally? Personally. That you would say yes to the invitation of Jesus, because it is first an invitation to each of us. Personally, is he talking to the crowds? Absolutely. Is he talking to the disciples? Absolutely. But he's talking to them also individually, as an individual call. You go, well, why is this important? Because this church, or any church for that matter, this church cannot disciple you if you're not first a disciple of Jesus. That if you haven't chosen to orient your life around being with Jesus, then this community of faith is going to have a really hard time of leading you to be with Jesus. That if you are not willing, by the Spirit's help, to orient your life to become more and more like Jesus and to allow the life and the ministry and the Spirit of Jesus to transform you from the inside out, then this church is going to have a really difficult time on trying to help you grow into the likeness and image of Jesus. You tracking with me? This is first and foremost an individual call. Your first step within this family is to say, yes, yes, 2024, I want to begin a new year. I want to begin this moment right where I'm at, whatever it is that I'm walking through. Wherever it is that I feel like I'm at with Jesus, I want to apprentice this year under Jesus. I want to learn what it means to be with him. I want to learn what it means to become like him. I want to learn what it means to participate with him and what he's up to. And so here's my question for you, all of us individually, is what is the next step for you in practicing the way of Jesus? What's the next step? What's the next step you need to take in practicing the way of Jesus? Will you sit with that question this morning? Will you sit with that question this week? Is there an area? Is there something that Jesus wants from me that begins with receiving an identity that informs everything around me? Who I am to how I live. We're going to keep putting that question before you this month. It's on the screen. Would you be willing to ask the Lord, what's my next step? And then secondly, would you practice the way of Jesus by belonging and investing here with us? Would you do that? You see, because once we say yes to apprentice under Jesus, we quickly learn from Jesus that apprenticeship to Jesus happens in the context of community. We're going to talk more about this in 2 weeks. But no disciple of Jesus who is truly following Jesus is following Jesus alone. Would you practice the way of Jesus by belonging and investing here with us? And I'm going to give you a really quick snapshot of what life here looks like. I'm going to invite the team to come back up as I share this. 4 primary ways that you can know what life, participation of life here at Summit looks like. 1, gather with us each week. Each week, gather with us. Why? Because we're formed together. We're formed when the people of God join together underneath the authority of the Word of God. The Spirit of God forms us. So we think it's a really big deal. It's not the only thing that we do. It's not the only piece of our formation in Christ. But we gather on purpose every Sunday. And we think it's a good and right invitation to extend to you that if you want to be a part of this family, if you want to live and thrive within this family, just say, hey, make Sundays a priority. Come. Come with expectation. Come with anticipation and gather with us. Worship the living God with us. And let the Spirit of the living God work and move and do transformative work as we gather. I promise you and assure you from the authority of God's word, there is something significant about God's people gathering together. The church in every generation has always sought and fought to get together, to be together. It's not about a building. Guys, no, we can gather in that parking lot over there. It's about us being together, worshiping King Jesus. Gather with us. That's an invitation. There's going to be days you have every reason not to show up. Come anyway. Make it a priority. Every weekend, what am I doing? I'm gathering with the people of God, worshiping the God of heaven. That's what I'm doing. 2, serve with us. Serve with us for the good of us. Because we are formed when we serve for the good of the body. Spirit of God forms us. There are a multitude of ways that you can serve here at Summit Church. And we're going to be talking about those ways, those opportunities. One of them we highlighted this morning is student ministry. Great opportunity to serve. We're going to take each Sunday over the next 5-6 weeks, and we're going to highlight specific ways that you can serve this family. And it's not just about serving when we gather. There's going to be opportunities this year when we step outside of this building, we serve our circle, and we serve on mission. Come serve with us. Serve with us for us. Number three, connect with us. Connect with us because we are formed when we seek to know and be known by others. There's going to be opportunities that you're going to be introduced to this year, congregationally, men of Summit, women of Summit opportunities to step into meaningful environments and to relationally connect with the people that we call family. Here's what I'm saying to you. It's an invitation that I hope you'll take advantage of. Every one of us in this room likely has friends and connections and communities outside of this place, and that is good and right and necessary. But if this is your family, when we have opportunities to connect with one another, why not connect with us? Why not take the opportunity to get to know the people that make up this family? That'll become a pathway to God doing transformative work in and beyond what you can think or imagine. And number four, live in community with us. We are formed when we learn to center our lives upon the values of intimacy, community, and mission within the context of meaningful relationships. Historically at Summit, that environment's been life group. This is a great opportunity for you to step into life groups. If you're not in a life group, January is a great time to get into a life group. If you used to be a part of a life group and you're no longer in a group, it's a great time to reconnect and join a life group. Two ways that you can do that. You can scan that QR code and go fill out the online form, or you can go directly to summitupstate.org, scroll to the bottom, click life groups and fill out that form, and Jared and I will be more than happy to sit with you and help connect you into meaningful community. Life groups for us is an environment to where we can forge relationship and then learn how to center life, begin to learn how to center life upon our core values. We'd love to see you step into life group this year. We're going to introduce a new environment this year. We're calling them spiritual formation groups. And spiritual formation groups are specifically directed at disciple making. Disciples who make disciples. These will be gender-specific groups, men discipling men, women discipling women. We'll talk more about what that looks like and why we're introducing this new environment in the weeks to come. We're actually going to be training leaders this spring with the hopes of fully launching formation groups later this year. But our invitation to you, if this is your family, then live in community with your family. Learn to invest and be invested in with your family. So here's my question to you, and I'm going to close. What is the next step that you need to take in practicing the way of Jesus here? Here. You see how that question is both personal and communal. So we're going to put that before you. Maybe it is making Sundays more of a priority in your life. Maybe it is choosing to serve. You come week in and week out, but you don't serve this family. Maybe it's taking that step. Maybe it is taking the opportunity to truly connect in meaningful relationships this year, to get in community this year. You're going to hear us talk more and more about this pathway, these environments in the weeks to come, but the invitation is, come practice the way of Jesus together with us here at Summit. Would you stand with me? Father, no one loves your bride like you do. And I'm reminded of the call. I think about this as being an elder and pastor here. It's oftentimes easy to place upon my own shoulders, because you don't place this upon us as under shepherds, but sometimes it's easy to just place the weight upon myself or the shoulders of our team, of how people respond, of how this room, the people who call Summit Simpsonville home, how this congregation would respond to life and ministry here in this particular moment in time. And yet what I know to be true is that what you've called me to do is to be faithful. You call me to point people to you as I myself choose to walk in that way. I pray this month, God, as we try to, with great clarity and with great boldness, to clearly articulate what it means to live and do life with you, Jesus, to walk with you, to become like you, to participate with you. God, I pray this month I pray for a spirit of receptivity amongst this body, a willingness for individuals, for those who are single, for those who are married, and moms and dads, to just consider, am I truly walking in the way of Jesus? And to hear not shame or condemnation, but to hear a loving invitation. Hey, come be with me. Receive the identity that you did nothing to earn or deserve. Maybe come back underneath that banner of that identity that you did nothing to earn or deserve. You are my beloved. Come be with me. Perhaps we've been kind of living our life and going our way, and every so often we'll come back to that identity, but we're not actually leaning in and taking this step of apprenticing under Jesus. And maybe the Spirit of God is speaking upon the hearts of the people in this room that I need to orient my life, not just a mental ascent, but I actually need to orient my life, my actions, my choices, my decisions, my routine, my schedule around walking in the way of Jesus. That we would all learn that we can't do that alone. We need one another. Spirit of God, you work, you move, you speak, you prompt. Because our desire is to be a people who are mobilized for your mission. And we can't go do mission, be about mission, until we're equipped for it. So equip us. We ask these things in your sweet name. Amen.
Thank you for joining for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child the repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.